Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. This is Basic Gospel. Here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. We'd love to discuss it with you at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All of us experience trials and tribulations in life. We experience pressures. We experience problems that seem overwhelming. And we're always looking for answers, looking for help, looking for hope, trying to figure a way to navigate those turbulent waters. And we have some incredible information in the Word of God, incredible resources and tools available to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And one of those is this armor of God that God has issued to us the moment we come to know Him. He puts us in this armor. We just have to make use of it on a day-to-day basis. The last couple of days, we've talked about several of the elements of this armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, this gospel of peace that we're to prepare our feet with to carry out into this world. Today, we're going to look at the shield of faith. In addition to all this, Paul says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all, not some, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we have this shield of faith that we hold. And I think that's a significant description, a shield of faith. I think that's where most of us get confused. What does it mean to walk by faith in Jesus Christ? We hear the message, you know, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ was buried, Jesus Christ was raised back to life, Jesus Christ now lives in us. Well, how are we to respond to that? Well, faith is how we're to respond to that, but that's something that is so unfamiliar to us, so foreign to our natural way of thinking, it takes a long time to process and come to an understanding of what faith really is. So I think this is a significant description, this shield of faith. What does that mean, Richard, as you think about that, as you look at that image, the shield of faith? How is that applied in day-to-day life?
Well, for me, it actually takes more words than it does when I'm actually succeeding in faith. But for me, to carry the shield of faith means that at every moment of the day, I am looking at a guaranteed future that Jesus has promised me. He is victorious. He is the King of the universe, and I belong to Him. I am already seated with Him in the heavenly places. If that's true in the future, then right now, at this moment, it's true. And based on that truth and that guarantee, I can take the next step forward in my life's journey, whatever it looks like. And it could be simply, you know, using a pencil at work. But every little thing can be done by faith because I know who Jesus is and I know that I belong to Him. And it when you do with those little things, then when the big things come up, it's a natural response to just continue doing it by faith.
So because those fiery darts that are being thrown at you by the evil one, they are pointed toward that very thing you said, the fact that you belong to God. Mm-hmm. He is trying to do everything in His power to raise just a little ounce of doubt. Yep. about that truth. But the shield of faith says, no, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've said, no matter what I've thought, Christ has purchased me. Mm-hmm. He has redeemed me and has claimed me for His very own. I belong to Him. I've been marked out by God's Holy Spirit. I am His not only now, but forever. And when we stand in that, when we have that shield up, man, those fiery darts have no place to go.
You don't even have to interact with them at all.
Absolutely.
Because they're absorbed by that shield.
Absolutely. Extinguishing every single one.
Yes, indeed.
So do you have that shield of faith? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that Christ has taken away all of your sins? Do you know that he has declared you to be righteous? Do you know that he has declared you to be a son of God? Do you know that he has an inheritance for you? Do you know that he remembers your sins no more? Are you abiding in those truths? If so, you've got the shield of faith, and not a single dart Satan fires your way will penetrate that mind or get close to the heart, do anything of damage to you.
Let's talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Again, my name is Bob Davis. We want to welcome you, those of you who have tuned in, and we want to invite you to give us a call and join the conversation. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Navarre listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Navarre.
Hello, Jace, real quickly... My question is Matthew 26, verse 41. Can you explain that? I'm going to hang up.
Okay. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for the question. Here's what Matthew 26, 41 says. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So what's the scene here? What's happening in the narrative at this point in Matthew?
Yeah, Jesus and his disciples have gone to Gethsemane. This is just before he's arrested and goes to trial and then is crucified. And he is dealing with the fact that he is becoming sin. And he's asking his Father, if there's any other way to do this, please, but your will, not mine. And he keeps going back to the disciples to get encouragement. And they are always asleep. Three times they're asleep. And he says, please, you know, watch and pray. This isn't about me that I'm talking here. This is about you. I know that your spirit is willing, but your flesh, your body is weak. And if you're not carrying the shield of faith by watching and praying and rehearsing the truths that I've been teaching you, you're going to get whacked. And that's exactly what happened. You know, they kept going to sleep, and then the soldiers came, the mob came, not really soldiers, and they ran for the hills.
Yeah. And Jesus had said to Peter specifically,
yes,
listen, you know, before, you know, tomorrow comes, before that rooster crows, you're going to have denied me three times. Mm-hmm. And so Peter said, no, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will.
No,
and
me.
That's the big thing. I never will. Look at what I'm going to do for you, Lord. Look at how I'm going to protect you. Look at how I'm going to be the one that stands with you all the way to the end. And he couldn't even stay awake as they went to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus asked him to stay awake to watch and pray, because there were going to be soldiers that were coming to arrest Jesus. Jesus wanted time with his Father, and he wanted to work through, not my will, but yours be done, in a human way. And he wanted those disciples there to protect. And he said to them, you know, your spirit is willing. Peter had demonstrated that, but boy, is that body weak. And when even some little servant girl approached Peter, didn't you know him? Don't you know that guy? It's like, oh, no, not me. I've never seen that Jesus guy. I don't know him at all. He felt so bad about that. And that's why Jesus went back to him after the resurrection. But here's the significant part, is that once the Holy Spirit was given, this person who was strong in spirit but weak in the body, who would just give in to the least little thing, was the very one empowered by the Holy Spirit that stood up and looked at the people right in the eye and said, this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has raised from the dead, and he is now both Lord and God. You need to turn to him for life and forgiveness and all of those things that he offers through faith in him. So we see what religion is. It's self-effort. It's people saying, hey, I'm going to do these great things for you, God, and falling flat on their faces. And Christianity said something else. No, I'm going to do something great for you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to rescue you. Then I'm going to send my spirit to live inside of you, and it's through him that you will be able to experience this life that you've always longed for.
That's the basic gospel message that you hear each day right here on this particular broadcast. We want you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. Lots of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to remind our listeners of our wonderful offer this month, Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. We want to put it in your hands, and we will do so as a way of saying thanks to anyone who chooses to support the ministry this particular month. A gift of any amount, this is our way of saying thanks. It's a fabulous resource. We all are involved in spiritual warfare. We all try to manage it through our own strength, through our own wisdom, through our own efforts. When we do, we find ourselves getting beat up at every single turn.
Yeah.
But that's not how we're supposed to engage in this. We're simply supposed to stand in the armor that God has given to us. We are simply to believe that we are saved, believe that we are children of God. And standing in the strength of God, standing in the power of Jesus Christ, we'll be able to stand against those attacks from the enemy. And that's what this book is all about. And we want you to have it, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month.
And you'll find a link on the homepage where you can make your donation and request your copy at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Operation Screwtape by Andrew Farley, yours for a gift of any amount. Again, that number, 800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello. My question is, would everyone in heaven inherit the goodness of Christ on the same level? I mean, would some be better off than others? We are all in heaven, but is everyone is going to be in the same level of the goodness of God? Because so many of us have done different sins. Some people have committed great sins. Some people just have a little bit of sin, and they are very much, so many of us are better than others. So would that be the same way it is in heaven?
Well, Frank, God doesn't look at us in those terms. He doesn't look at sin in those terms. He doesn't give sin various grades. You know, this is just a small sin, and this is a big sin. He just says sin is sin, and the wages of sin is death. Slander gets the same punishment that murder or adultery does. It's all sin in God's sight. We were all sinners, and Jesus Christ came to save all who will turn to him by faith. So those who do turn to him by faith, each and every one is given all the spiritual blessings in Christ. Every single believer in Christ has been given the same inheritance, has been given the same spirit, has been given the same standing, has been given the same access, has been given the same covenant. We all stand equal in Christ. You, Frank, were saved by grace through faith. I, too, was saved by grace through faith. The same power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the exact same power it took for God to save you and to raise you from death to life. And so we're all the same. I love how Paul put it. You know, in Christ there's no Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And I think that's the great story of this gospel, that he reaches down to where we are, to the depths of where we are, and raises us up, and he puts us all on the same level with him.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I learned something.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Frank. Yeah. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Open lines for your call as well at 1-800-677-9377. Again, time on the clock, open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk with Joseph listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joseph.
Yeah, how are you?
Welcome.
Okay, thank you. Just a fast question. I don't want to take up too much of your time. And I'm struggling with this, and I'll give you a fast instance. There was a little boy here in New York. I'm from New York, and he was tortured. He was beaten. He was starved. They found cigarette burns on him. And the woman that did this, I mean, God forgive me, but I could kill her. Now, here's my point. She'll go to prison. Let's say she gets saved. What about the little boy? What's going to happen to him? And what about other people that were killed and then somebody gets saved? And from what I know, is God will say, he'll forgive you. Then he says, judge not, you know, vengeance is mine. But I tell you, and God forgive me, but I could beat that woman to death. A little defensive four-year-old boy. I mean, you know, what did he do so wrong?
Joseph, man, you're just laying it out there.
Yes.
you're just being transparent and real. And when we see some of the heinous things that take place out in the world today, when innocent people are hurt and molested and robbed and killed, and it just makes our blood boil. And I think that's true of all of us. And we want to take action. We want to make things right. And that's where the Spirit of God comes in, Joseph, and says, vengeance is mine. Leave that in God's hands. He's going to put all things right. He's going to make all things turn out the way they're supposed to turn out. We're not going to see that here and now. We're not going to see how all of that takes place. But he has promised that it's going to take place. And if that person who does a heinous act on an innocent person is saved, that's God's grace and to his glory and to his praise as well. And we will be able to see that in light of who he is and his grace for each and every one of us. So I understand where you're coming from, Joseph. Some of those things that I see on news and read about it just makes the blood boil, but you have to step back and say, you know, God's still in control, and God is going to make all things right. He has promised to make all things right. There is going to be a judgment toward those who reject Jesus. First Thessalonians, or I think it's First Thessalonians. It may actually be Second Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians says this, and I think this is a verse that all believers should really look at and understand. And starting in verse 5 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. So whatever God's judgment is, it's right. And as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. So, Joseph, you're troubled over this, and I would be too if I saw the story that you saw. We get troubled over that. But he says we're going to be given relief, and then he gives us the time that this relief will come. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. So there is going to be a day of reckoning when all things will be made right. In the meantime, we trust some of the things that he's put in place here on planet Earth to deter some of this action or to bring consequences here. Government, law, all of those things are a part of God's plan to bring about some sense of righteousness and justice here as we wait for his appearing. So we just have to trust that, you know, the state will carry out its duties in a situation like that. And if that person never comes to Christ, you will know that all things will be made right when the Lord is revealed.
That's just a great question, though.
Oh, man. It's.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome, Joseph. Thanks for your call. And let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, okay? You hang on.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we close the broadcast in a few minutes.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Lewis, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lewis.
Hi. Grace and peace, brothers. I love the message of the gospel of grace and truth, of the gospel grace and truth, and I appreciate you guys. I'm so, so overwhelmed and so happy that you guys are over here in New York on the radio station, and I listen to you guys every day. I have a question. What is the difference between humility and obedience?
Well, humility, I think, is simply a recognition of truth. Sin makes us act as if, you know, we know everything, that we don't need anything. We call that pride. But I think the world has a way of knocking that pride out of us. Circumstances have a way of showing us truth. And we finally come to that point and we recognize that we truly need a Savior. That's when we're humble. That's when we've been humiliated, so to speak, by the world, and we recognize our need. And it's in that state of humility that we can actually receive the grace of God. As Peter says, I think James says the same thing. They quote an Old Testament passage, God gives grace to the humble, but he rejects the proud. So humility is simply recognizing truth. That God exists and we're not him.
Amen. So through him, through humility, then we become obedient to the truth?
That's when we can actually respond in faith to this offer of life that God gives us in Jesus. You know, we think we have it all together, and then we realize that we don't, that something's wrong, and we don't know how to fix it. And it's in that state of humility that we're able to receive God's solution of life in Jesus Christ. Our problem is that we're dead spiritually. Mm-hmm. God's solution is new life in Jesus. And when circumstances bring us to that point where we see that need, then we're open to receiving God's offer.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. I want to thank you so much for answering that for me.
Well, you are so welcome, Lewis, and thanks for joining in and tuning in every day. We're just grateful, and so every day we go on the air, we'll know that there's Lewis in Brooklyn, New York, tuning in. That's just great.
And Lewis, as
you guys are coming over to New York.
Well, we want to get there soon, and so be praying for opportunities, okay?
Lewis, hold the line. We're going to put you on hold. Well, we want our operator to get your email address because we have something we want to send to you, so just hold that line, okay? Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, for this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, Bob Davis. We are indeed a listener-supported ministry on the air only because of your prayers and your financial support. As a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape. That's for a gift of any amount, the Basic Gospel. Call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that all the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our online store at basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear every day on this broadcast, and we hope you do, then please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. To review what you hear each day on this broadcast, get on the list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent day's broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of that. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.